Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How many of you, this is your first time hearing me preach, hearing me speak? Raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Okay. Good. Put on your seatbelt, okay? Like I always say, Pastor Les and I are brothers from a different mother, and I just drink more Red Bull than him. And so I was speaking to a man, actually a man was given a testimony one time. We're based out of Florida, and we believe in the local church, so even when we're not traveling, we are invested in our church down there. And a man was giving a testimony, and he goes, man, my life, I was just roller coastering up and down, all these problems, I was in this addiction, and then I went out with Dr. Doug, that's what he loved to call me, Dr. Doug, and Dr. Doug was speaking to me, and Dr. Doug throat punched me, changed my life. Now I'm walking with Jesus. And I'm like, is that a compliment? I throat punched him. And he goes, yeah, you throat punched me in Jesus' name. I throat punched him. I don't know if that was a compliment or not, but I'm going to throat punch some of you tonight in Jesus' name. I'm that guy who points out the elephant that's in the room. If you look in the Old Testament, and even I believe in the New, there's prophets and priests. God uses prophets and priests. Pastor Les is a priest. He stayed faithful building the Word of God in this church, and he's still faithful, and he's still only 40 years old. I don't know how he does it. I mean, unbelievable. Been praying for his health, and look at how he's still excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm that prophet. I'm that guy who comes in and speaks the word, and then you're like, man, I'm glad he comes in every 2 years because I don't know if I can handle that guy every week, you know? But I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it, okay? I'm excited because you're almost there. Don't stop short. Don't quit early. You've got that building over there, okay? I spoke in December 2017, you're going to come up in 2 years, and I spoke over it, and I was excited. I said, the money for that project's already been given. It's just in your pocket right now, but it's already been designated for it. And I'm just going to tell you, I know this is this awkward moment, but I don't want a cathedral of tomorrow. Oh, man, some of you young people are like, what? Some of you old people are like, oh. This man preaches the Word of God and builds on the Word of God. You honor your pastor. One of the things I've learned, I didn't learn it when I was here ministering. I didn't understand the culture of honor. We always like to kind of crack on people and put people down and stuff like that. That's not biblical. You honor your people. You honor each other. Husbands, honor your wives. Wives, honor your husband. Children, honor your parents. There's a culture of honor. And let's honor this church by honoring God through his church. That's what I meant to say. Honoring God through his church. Let's rise up some Nehemiahs. You know, money is such a stupid thing. It's just such a stupid thing. You know, you can't outgive God.
Amen.
You can't outgive God. So I'm just saying, when I come up here next time, don't nickel and dime that thing to death. Make it such an amazing temple of God. You know the temple? They use porpoise skins in the temple. Porpoise skins. I mean, who's the dude out there fishing in the Mediterranean going, well, I guess we're going to use this for God's house, you know? I mean, that's how wild and aesthetic beauty that God loves in his place.
Yes, amen.
So just, man, just go for it. These last months, just go for it. Just give. Some of you Nehemiahs get up and get it done. I've been reading Nehemiah. You ever read Nehemiah? That guy was a wild man. He was pulling on people's beards and chewing them out. Some of you raise up, pull some beards, empty some pockets, squeeze, watch the money fall out, build that thing. Am I done, Les? Okay. Les didn't know I was going to do this, and I know he's probably mad at me. And that's why I only come back every 2 years. I can't wait to see what I'm going to see in 2 years. But you know what else I prophesy here in this church? I prayed revival and spoke revival in this church. And look how this church is growing. Don't stop short. Don't quit. Believe. Believe that that building is going to be too small soon. You're already thinking, don't say that. Don't say that. I can't wait to see what God wants to do because God uses faithful men and women. And we've been walking with you for a long time on this journey. I know a lot about seeing revival and seeing God grow. God's church is growing around the world. Don't listen to the naysayers and negativity. I mean, so let me just tell you some stories because I guess I'm a missionary and that's what we do, right? I had the privilege of flying into the western part of Papua New Guinea. Right there. Papua New Guinea is an island above Australia. It's like Dominican Republic and Haiti. It's one island, but it's half Papua New Guinea. The other half is Indonesia, the island of Papua. That's what's called. It used to be called Irian Jaya. Now it's called Papua. And I got to travel there. I got to fly into a jungle plane where they took me into the jungle and they had mowed out a strip to land this plane. And that's when your faith and prayer increases when you're landing in one of those airstrips. And I got out and they brought people. Some walked 2 or 3 days from the villages to come to this conference that I led for 2 weeks on sharing and teaching about the gospel and helping them understand the gospel, what I'm going to teach on you in a minute, because that's what we do. And when we got done, they had an honoring ceremony because they understand the culture of honor, and they wanted to honor me for sacrificing to come there. And I sacrificed to come there because you sacrificed so I could go there. And you never charge with the gospel. Freely we've been given, freely give, right? And so freely I went there. And I mean, it was harrowing. You ever been in a mosquito net, 95 degree weather, laying on a mat in a wooden broken down building, and it's shaking in a 7.5 earthquake? And I'm laying there, mind you, we're just pouring a sweat going, huh, I got a choice. I could run out and stand outside this building in the jungle and get eaten by every mosquito alive, or I could have this building collapse on me, and the building was infested with rats, and I literally, if it collapses on me, I would, and I said this prayer, I said, Lord, I don't want to go out and get bit by a mosquito. So if this building collapses, could you just have me die quick so the rats don't chew me to death? I mean, literally, I prayed that. I was scared. I don't want to act like some great missionary. I was scared. I mean, that's the fun mission part you hear. We got done, though, and they honored me for the sacrifice, and it's no sacrifice, it's just a calling. And you know what they said to me? They said, thank you. Thank you for coming here. And they said these words, now we can take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I sat and looked around going, how much more of an end is there? Because this looks pretty far to me. I've been in the bush of Mozambique, and it's amazing. I'll never forget this. This woman's talking to me. She's 410 years old, I'm thinking. I mean, she's just one of those ladies who just looks like she's, and she was as old could be. And she could barely walk, and she comes up to me, and she's looking, and I'm talking to her, and then she reaches into her shirt, and she pulled out a cell phone. Not what I was expecting. I don't think she could call. She didn't have money or that, but she had the Bible on it. It's one of the ways the Bible is going around the world. I'm almost going to be out of a job, and I can't wait. And we're going to have a contest. What's going to happen first, the rapture or the finish of that building? So, good help if I, yeah. Good help it. We're almost there. But you know what I've seen? And people ask me this all the time. Why does it seem like the gospel's advancing around the world, but it seems to be regressing here in the West? My daughter's actually coming in town, and she lives in Europe. She's married to a Dutchman. We have 5 little Dutch grandbabies. Nothing's more disconcerting. You say, no, you speak the poppy in English, not in Dutch, you know. So, you've been in Europe lately? The churches that are museums, or even worse, the churches that are being bought up and turned into mosques and Sikh temples, and that? America's not that far in some ways. But the kingdom's not shrinking. It's advancing to those who are willing to help be used by God to advance it. Amen. And what I want to share, I love how the Holy Spirit works. Those songs you picked, they didn't know what I was going to be speaking on, but the mission's still the same. And the title of my sermon is the movement, the Kingdom of God Advancing in Papua New Guinea and Talmadge, Ohio, because the mission's still the same, right? Amen. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. And I want to tell some mission stories, but my heart is for Talmadge, Ohio. Because many of you know, I grew up in Talmadge. And I know the spiritual stronghold that was on Alling Road. where I grew up. And I was in bondage. And I could go up in that street and say, oh yeah, there's the guy who sold drugs. There's the guy who ended up in jail. We don't even know what happened to that guy. And literally, the way Satan had his way with people in Talmadge, Ohio. Praise God, I got set free. Amen. And I want to see others in Northeast Ohio set free. Yes. But I'm not going to do it. You are. So you ready?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to get wild in here. You expected some, you know, I know I'm pretty funny, but I'm not that funny. But I really want to equip you. I want to teach you three things that I teach around the world because I want you to be missionary, okay? Three missionaries. Three things you understand to be missionaries. Because what is a missionary? It's simple, and they do it cross-cultural. But I don't do anything different over there that I do here. I'm part of a church. It's actually, this year was the fourth fastest growing church in America. And the kingdom's advancing in Tampa. And I want to see the kingdom advancing up here in Northeast Ohio. You know what I noticed the difference is? I'm just going to tell you. The mindset. It's hard here in Akron. I don't have any jobs. It's cold. Well, that part's true. But yeah. It's the mentality. Do you believe revival can happen?
Amen.
Do you believe God could pull his Holy Spirit upon this church so powerfully that people around the world would hear about it? Amen. And acknowledge that God is on the move?
Wow.
Right there is the whole context of what I'm saying. And the rest of the time you should be thinking, what is your real answer to that question? Now you're in church and you look good. I almost wore a tie, but I wanted my brother to, and then I fooled. Many of you know my brother Randy here, and a faithful servant. I really believe he uses church to advance his kingdom. But it's going to take three types of people with three key understandings that we understand on the mission field, that we understand as missionaries, and that you need to understand. Three things to understand. First thing you need to understand is the word identity. The word identity. See, when we go around the world, when I go into Papua New Guinea, when I go into India, when I go into Mozambique, when I go into Indonesia, and those are all the countries I've just been to this past year, I go into... Like some of them I don't even like to say because I know we're recording it. Just God has taken us. You know what the first thing we think of? People need to understand their identity. And they do. And that's why the gospel is advancing around the world. See, they understand I'm a Muslim. I'm not a Christian. That's my identity. They understand I'm a Hindu. I'm not a Christian. That's my identity. What we're asking them to do is change their identity. But so many people grow up in America, oh, I'm just a Christian. Were you a Christian? Patient. If I have to leave, unfortunately, at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, but if you want to, I'll get up early if you want to go breakfast. Because I love to go out with men and hang out, and I always, I'm famous for this. They always say, you ever gone out with Doug? Did he ask you his question? Because every time I go out with a person, I say, tell me your story. Tell me who you are. Tell me. No, it's like, well, what do you want me to say? I say, what's important to you? Tell me what your story is. And just recently, I was with a man in the church and all that, and he told me a story all about where he grew up, when he went to school and all that. And when he got done, I said, huh, that's interesting. You're not a Christian, though. That was a throat punch moment. what do you mean? I go, well, you just told me your story. You told me everything that's important in your life. You never mentioned the name Jesus. See, his identity. You understand who he is and whose he is. And that's the most important thing about him. So I started asking him, well, tell me, when did you change your identity? When did you become a follower of Jesus Christ? And, well, I always grew up in the church. Oh, ding, 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 ding. See, he didn't understand that you have to make a decision that will change identity. Because the Bible says that if anyone is next, he is a new creation. When did you become a new creation? Because you were born in that old creation and you've been living in that old creation. There had to come a point in your life where you changed your identity. And if you didn't, you're not born again. You're just born. And that's like so offensive in the West. Like, oh, who? How dare you to say I'm not a Christian? But when I say it to a Muslim, he gets it. Well, of course I'm not a Christian. Because he's not made a decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so many people in our churches think they're a Christian because they were raised in America.
Yes.
Or in the Bible Belt. So of course I'm a Christian. No, you become born again.
Amen.
And what we're about, and what I only have 60 copies, I apologize, but you can download it for free online. One of the things we do at Serving Beyond Borders is I wrote this little booklet on the gospel. Because, and I've spoken on this every time, and I speak on this every time, and I'll speak on it again here. Everywhere I go, this is my calling. Because when I work with Muslims, it has shocked me. For 12 years in the Middle East, if you ask a Muslim what is their gospel, they all know what their gospel is. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulallah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the apostle of Allah. You say that and believe it in your heart three times in front of witnesses, you become a Muslim. Easiest religion to get into, hardest to get out of. But when I ask a Christian, what is our gospel? What is our message by which we are saved? If I ask 10 Christians, I get 11 different answers. And it set me on my path. So open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. If you've heard me say this before, you go, here he goes again. And I'm going to keep going here until every person in this world has a chance to understand and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I do this in Papua New Guinea. I've done this in Nicaragua. I do this everywhere I go. Because Paul is very clear in 1 Corinthians 15. You will never fail this question again when somebody asks you, what is the gospel? Because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel by which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. See, Paul received this gospel. Galatians 1 tells us that Paul received his gospel from a revelation to Jesus, from Jesus Christ. He took this gospel and presented it to the pillars of the church, Peter, James, and John, the apostles in Jerusalem, the apostles to the Jews, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, takes this gospel that he's preaching, and they gave him the right hand of fellowship because there's only one gospel. Just like, do you hear Pastor Les preach, say Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, to the Greek. Amen. One gospel. And Paul says what this gospel is right here in verse 3. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas. I could take all day, but I don't. I have two more things I want to teach you, but let me just stop for a moment. The gospel is simply this. Christ died for your sins and was raised on the third day. And when you embrace that and believe it, you're born again. Now, here's how I share the gospel around the world. Actually, I'm getting excited. We've had this book translated, what is it now, 13 languages, I think, we've had this translated. We make it available online. We just had it literally turned into a video in Arabic, and we're trying to figure out how to get it on television in the Arab world. And we're getting ready to produce a little film in English so we can put it, because we found out people don't read books anymore. They watch YouTube videos. And what we found out is nobody watches an hour of videos. They watch an hour of five-minute videos. So we're trying to put a very slick production, and I say that. I want it excellent. I want your building excellent. I want this gospel production excellent, because God is a God of excellence. That's how he created this world. And we want to make it understandable so everyone can understand and accept and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So here's the way this is a new track I'm coming up with. I'm really excited. Unless I get excited. Calm me down. Have you heard about the three holidays of the gospel? There's three holidays of the gospel. And I want you to ask, have you celebrated these three holidays? See, the gospel is Christ died for our sins, was raised on the third day. Now, there's two famous holidays in the church. Les, I bet your church, just like every church in the world, there's two holidays, man, where it's packed to the gills and everyone's dressed up real nice and they're looking good, right? They're looking good. What are those holidays? Christmas and Easter. And those are the two holidays of the gospel. Think about it. What do we celebrate at Christmas? The virgin birth. Jesus, the Son of God, left his throne in heaven and came down and was born of a virgin. What's the first part of the gospel? Notice, it doesn't say Jesus died for our sins. In fact, when I'm in Florida, I helped lead this training academy, and I just gave a quiz to all the students. I went in there and I said, okay, what's the gospel? And all of them were writing, Jesus died for our sins. No, Jesus did not die for your sins. And according to the gospel, it said Christ died for your sins. Why is that important? Because a lot of people believe in Jesus, the man. A lot of people believe in Jesus, the prophet. But when you confess Jesus, the Christ, Amen. What you're doing is what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 16 when he says to his disciples, hey, what are people saying about me? Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Yeah. And then he locks in on them. Who do you say that I am? And what's Peter's confession? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, when you confess Jesus as Christ, more than a man, but the Son of the living God, the one who left his throne to come down for you, then you're acknowledging the gospel that Jesus is who he says he is. That's the whole point of the gospels. What was Jesus doing in the Gospels? He's healing people. He's raising people from the dead. He's healing the blind. Why is he doing those things? To prove that he is the Christ. Which, what is the word Christ? It's not his last name, people. I know, that's what most people think. It's actually a title. It means anointed one. And it's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, Messiah. So when you confess Jesus as the Christ, you're confessing he's all the promises that God gave about the Messiah in the Old Testament. So if you confess Jesus as your Messiah, you have to, or you are not born again. But then what's that other holiday that everybody comes to church on? Easter. Well, what do we celebrate on Easter? The resurrection. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins and was raised on the third day. And you have to believe that he's alive. You have to call out to him. On July 7th, 1980, at 252 South Alling Road, as a 17-year-old punk, my mom's back there, she would even emphasize the word punk, okay, on drugs, rebellious, evil of heart, got down on his knees because the Spirit of God broke through, and I cried out to Jesus. Save me. I know I messed up. I need help. Now, did I say the gospel creed? No, but I knew that Jesus was the Christ who died for my sins, and he was alive, and he could change my life. And guess what? He did. Amen. And even though you may think I'm still on drugs, I'm not. Okay? He changed my life, and he can change yours because he's alive. Amen. But, whoa. I'm not done. I'm just getting warmed up. Pastor Les said I had till 2, okay? But because I love you, I'll stop at 1, okay? You don't know if I'm joking or not. Now you're real nervous. But there's a holiday many people forget. You know, I love to ask this question. What's the largest religion in the world? Most people think it's Islam or it's Christianity. But isn't that interesting when Jesus says that narrow is the way that leads to eternal life? And wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And I really believe, because so many people think they're Christians, but they're not born again. That's why I get just as excited sharing the gospel in a church as I do in a country of pagans. I was at a Bible college one day, and they asked me to preach at the chapel, and I gave a gospel presentation, and one of the professors was kind of irked at me and said, this is a Bible college. These guys are training for ministry. Why would you give an invitation? I said, well, maybe some of the professors will get saved. There's only one person I know who's born again. It's me. I love my wife. I think she's going to heaven. Les, you're looking pretty good. I think you're going to be there. But I don't know his heart. Only he knows his heart, and only he knows what Jesus has done. Now, we have fellowship because of that profession of faith. But that's why I share the gospel at all places, at all times. My niece's husband's here, Mylan. Mylan's a missionary. And he's a missionary in the greatest place, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. You know, I'm like Nathaniel, like, can anything good come out of Pittsburgh? Sorry, Les. I had to balance it out for you Browns fans. Sorry. But I know Mylan's passionate about the gospel, too. We share the gospel wherever, because everybody needs to know the truth. Because a lot of people know the first two holidays, but they don't know the third. See, the third holiday, every country celebrates this holiday. Nicaragua, it's August 15th, and in India, September 15th, August 15th, India, and August 17th is Indonesia. They celebrate it. And we celebrate it here in America. It's called July 4th. And what do we celebrate on July 4th? Independence Day. And that's the third holiday of the gospel. Because a lot of people, oh yeah, Jesus died and rose again. Oh yeah, Jesus is the Messiah. Yeah, I believe he's the Son of God. Yeah, he died, but he died for our sins. Yes. And that means you were in the bondage of sin and you needed an Independence Day. That means you were dead in your sins and you needed to be set free from the bondage the devil had you in. Every person needs to have an Independence Day. See, mine was July 7th, 1980. My girlfriend at that time, 2 months later, on August 31st, 1980, became born again. That's my wife, in case you didn't get that. Like, he has another girlfriend? Yeah. And I love to ask people, what's your holiday? When were you born again? See, you didn't automatically, you need to have an Independence Day. And maybe today, October 20th, 2019, is your attendance day. Because you either know you're going to heaven or you don't. Amen. Man, to Muslim up, just say to him, say, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. You cannot know that. Allah Akbar, God is greater. Inshallah is what they say. If God wills it, you can't know for sure anything like that. Only God knows that. Like, no, I know. Well, you arrogant person, how can you know? Oh, it's not me. Jesus died for my sins. He's the Messiah. He rose from the dead. He's the one who sent his spirit into and caused me to become born again. He did it, not me. I just accepted it. So if I don't know, then I'm doubting him. And that's not faith. So have you celebrated the three holidays? It's all about identity. If you can, then revival can break out in this church and start spreading like wildfire throughout because you're willing to ask people those questions. You're willing to have boldness to say, hey, you born again? It's none of your business. Well, yeah, it actually is, because I love you enough. I'm not going to force you. I'm still going to be friends with you if you say no, but I'm at least going to ask you. Those fighting fundies, okay? Don't be, oh, you're not a Christian. I'm not going to, I only drink milk from a Christian cow, Hang out with pagans. Be the light. Okay, I'm getting too wild here, aren't I? I've insulted the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've insulted your building. Is there anything else I could really crack on? Sorry, Pastor Les. Just do damage control next week, and it'll all be great. Second thing we understand as missionaries that you need to understand if you want to see revival, you need to understand spiritual warfare. You need to understand spiritual, but you need to understand it the right way. This will blow you away if you think about it. When Jesus talks the most about the devil and attacking the devil and who the devil is, it comes in this passage in John chapter 8. And many of you know the famous John chapter 8. If you abide in my words, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then he goes on, and he's talking about this, and then he says something to the Pharisees. Look at John 8:44 if you have your Bibles. This is Jesus' Dale Carnegie How to Win Friends and Influence People moment, where he says to the disciple, the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil. Because they weren't born again. They weren't followers of his. They weren't committed to him. And you do what? You want to do the desires of your father. I'm in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I always love to say, Satan's not clever, but he's consistent. Because you know what spiritual warfare is? Now, I can tell you stories, okay? I can hype it all up. I'm in India. I'm praying over a man. He falls down on the ground. He starts slithering like a snake with his sounds coming out of him. I don't have to sit there and go, what if he's demon-possessed? But when I would look at an opiate addict in the eyes, I know he's demon-possessed also. See, they're both bondage. He's just very clever. Satan is just very clever, consistent in the lies he put into people's mind, because this is the battlefield. I'm not out there trying to cast out demons. I don't speak to demons like some of the shows and things you hear. I go out and wage spiritual warfare in the mind, because the battlefield is the mind. Do you know how many times the Bible talks about the mind? In fact, Jesus, this will put this in your theological blender and stir it around. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the great Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But when Jesus then says that, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37, he says, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mind. Why did he put mind in there? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. And in this passage here, Jesus is contrasting truth and lies because Satan is a liar. And Satan is going to continue to speak lies into your mind. And that's what spiritual warfare is. What did he do with Eve? He could have attacked Eve with a gun. Eat that fruit. He could have beat her up. He could have done the guilt trip on her. But what did he do? I love this. I love to say, Satan did not attack Eve with a bullet. He attacked her with a lie. How did he attack Jesus? After Jesus received the Holy Spirit and was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit drove him to be tempted by the devil, did God really say? If you're really the son, no, I'm sorry. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Trying to put that doubt in his mind, trying to create did God really say that? Is it really true? Will you really not tempt God, bow down to me, see if God's word's true? He's a liar. How many of you, right now in your life, you are not living in an area of your life, you're not living the victorious Christian life? Your finances are a mess. Your marriage is a mess. Your kids are in rebellion. You hate your job. Your job hates you. You know, all that. It's because, I'm telling you, you've listened to the lie of the devil. You've listened to it. You've bought into a lie. And in spiritual warfare, he's got you right where he wants you. You're not living the dynamic life. Nobody's coming up to you saying, man, tell me about marriage because I want to have a marriage like yours. Nobody. And then you have a testimony. 37 years. 15-year-old, Talmadge High School, messed up kids. I mean, who would have thought we'd still be together? We're still that couple that makes you gag because we're like holding hands and saying lovey-doveys in our ear. People are always asking me, like, man, how do you have a marriage after 37 years like that? Because of Jesus. Amen. I got a testimony. Let me tell you about them. Amen. Man, you got four crazy kids. Yeah, they're all off the wall. But you know what? They all love Jesus. How'd that happen? Well, you know, I got a whole parenting thing. You want a parenting class right now? Pray. And when you're done, pray. And after you get done with that, pray more. But you know what? God is faithful to his word. And I believe it. I'm silly enough to believe it. What about money? You know, Jesus talks more about money than he does heaven and hell. How are you doing with your money? We don't talk about it in church, but we talk about it everywhere but church. No, I'm going to talk about it in church. How are you doing with money? You should have more money than you know what to do with. God wants to bless you so that you can bless others. He does. I'm just telling you like it is. I always, I'm a poor prosperity gospel preacher. Because I keep giving it away. And he keeps giving it back. And I keep giving it away. And this is why your church is blessed. Because I see your thing on the wall. I see how you support missionaries. We've lived how you support missionaries. And if you continue that, God's going to continue to expand. But once you start worrying about money, well, I should tithe, but I don't. I love when people come up to me about the tithe. Let's just go off on a tangent. I love it because I'm a big tither. I mean, if this church, the statistics are true, only about 20% of people tithe in the church. If everybody in this church for the next couple months would tithe, you know what? You'd have more money to finish that project than you wanted, and you'd have left over. Sure. I mean, well, tithe? We're not under the Old Testament law. Give that 10%. Come on, don't put us under bondage. No, I believe in freedom. There is one thing I know, and I love freedom in Jesus Christ. So if you want to give 20%, praise God, you are free to give it. God is not going to hold you back. And I tell you right now, your attitude right now hearing that, well, you don't even have to say, it'll tell me how your finances are. I can't outgive God. I never worry about it. You know why? Because almost every day in my prayer closet, I say Psalm 23. It's a great prosperity gospel passage. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the next line? Okay, I'm done. I don't have to worry about it. Do you understand spiritual warfare? He's going to attack your mind. He's spoken lies into your mind, and you have to cast it down by the truth of God's word. If there's an area you are failing, it's because you listened to the lie of the devil. You haven't listened to the truth of God's word. It's just that simple. The lies of this world, you need this. You have to have this. Buy this. It'll make you happy. What nonsense. Amen. That's right. Church is just a bunch of unhappy people. That's a bunch of nonsense. We party like it's 19. Oh, that's already passed. But anyway, we love partying at our church. I love being happy. I have the joy of the Lord, and it's my strength. Do you? You should. It's great being a Christian. I go around the world and I see the miserable pagans all over the world. Do you know what it's like to go to a country and seeing a cow wandering on the street while you're stepping over a person starving to death? You know how evil that is? Do you know how evil that is? Do you know how evil it is? I could just tell stories. you know how evil it is here in this world where people are having to turn to all sorts of immorality and all sorts of drugs and all that to try and find happiness? When you have it all in the Lord? I mean, people don't know what to think of me. And I love that. Am I a prosperity gospel preacher? I don't know. You're never going to hear me ask for money. Have I ever asked you for money, Les? Have I ever asked this church for money? Well, yeah. No. But I've never wanted. How is your life? What kind of testimony? What lie has Satan got into you? Well, my kids, I don't know, you know. No. Praise God, my kids might be not walking with the Lord right now, but they're coming back. I'm going to proclaim it and believe it, and I pray because my God hears my prayers and he listens to my prayers. And God says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. I hate my job. Well, that's probably why you're miserable. Why don't you love your job? Because you have a job. And why don't you be so good at your job, they don't know what to do with you, so they promote you to a job that you actually want. Instead of complaining, we're so negative, and God wants us to be positive because we're the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, but we're the shine his light. I could go off on tangents. Is your throat a little sore, though? Okay. Because here's my last one. Oh, I want to get Pentecostal on you. You got to understand the Holy Spirit. You just have to. I didn't understand it for many years of my life. You know the fastest growing church around the world is the Pentecostals? It's all over. And same in the United States. Almost all the fastest growing churches are somehow, they talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'm not afraid to talk about this in this church because you understand it. But I'm not sure all of you do. I know Pastor Les does and others. What do I mean by that? Here's an experiment. If you have some like nominal Christian family, here's what you do. You just start talking to them. Yeah, church, we're really talking about God and we're just loving God. And they're going to go, oh, that's nice. And then you get, but then switch it. And the next week say, man, we're really Jesus. We're just really following Jesus. We're willing. Jesus said, you know, he who does not hate father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, yes, even his own life cannot be my disciples. We're going after Jesus. We're running after Jesus. Oh, well, now, don't be one of those Jesus freaks. Now you've distanced yourself. They're okay with a nebulous God, but when you start talking Jesus, watch how people will kind of look at you like, now bring up the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being powered by the Holy Spirit, and speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're just talking about the Holy Spirit. And watch, you're looking like, oh, that, what are you, handling snakes? Are you going to talk about tongues? I love this. Okay, don't ever talk to me about speaking in tongues, because it's none of your business. I don't care. Here's what I say. What's it matter if you speak in tongues if you're mean in English? See, Satan has used that lie that that's what the power of the Holy Spirit's all about. And that's what half the church is weak. And I love this trivia question. Do this sometime. Do it with your kids. This is a fun one. Yeah. But do it with people who grew up in the church. I mean, okay, you all know it. Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8. When Jesus went away, he said, stay here to his disciples. I'm going to heaven because you're going to receive something. And what were they going to receive? Yeah, see, I got you. Every time I get you. You shall receive power. And I meet so many Christians who don't live a power-filled life. They haven't seen themselves set free from addictions. They haven't seen themselves set free from a bondage, let alone help pray over and lead other people out of freedom. And I'm here to tell you, when you start acknowledging the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who lives in you, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He was happy to go away to send you the Holy Spirit, because that same Holy Spirit that came upon him has now come inside of you and lives inside of you, but you need to unleash it. And you need to start living by that power. And when you do, you will literally see your life transformed. You will see your family transformed. You will see this church transformed. You will see Talmadge transformed. You will see Northeast Ohio transformed. And it may reach to Pittsburgh. But the lie of the devil goes back to spiritual warfare. You're afraid of the Holy Spirit because of something you saw on TV or an experience you had. I had that experience. I became born again. I got taken to one of those churches. I got put in a chair. I had people laying hands on me, start saying it. She wrote on a Honda. She wrote on a Honda. She wrote on a Honda. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and I'm like, what? I didn't ride on a Honda, okay? Nothing happened. But now I'm freaked out, and I ran over to the wrong Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Because I thought that's weirdness. Now, when I say this, let me go balance it. You may have a weird experience, and that's okay. You may fall. I just talked to a person. I can't relate to them, but they fell down on the ground and laid there for like 2 hours and couldn't move their body because they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, am I going to sit here and tell her she's wrong? No, that didn't happen. It doesn't fit in my theological grid. Well, I love to tell this. You know, God told a prophet to go and lay on his side and cook his food over poop. You know, that's in the Bible. That's weird, okay? That's weird. There was a guy who was swallowed by a fish. That's weird, right? Don't put God in a box. I don't put those people down, and I don't put people who, like, I didn't get my world rocked, but I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me because I've been sharing the gospel. I've seen people's lives change. I've been praying over people. You know what? And let me push. I'm going to go. You ready for this? Because something happened in this church, and it bothered me. I'm going to call it out. Pastor Les, you follow up, but I'm going to call it out. He read the passage, and I got so excited. I was like, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities? And I heard you say amen. But then what was the next line? And heals all our diseases. And I hardly heard any of you say amen. By his stripes, we are healed. When's the last time you prayed healing over somebody? And I'm not, maybe they won't get healed. You know, I said this in 2017. I'm going to say it again because I say it everywhere. I pray for healings over people all the time. And I can tell you miracle stories. And I can tell you people who died. It's just like sharing the gospel. Does everybody you share the gospel with get saved? But you should still share the gospel, right? Does everybody you pray for get healed? No. But you should still pray for healing. In Jesus' name. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Do you believe that? Do you believe you have the same power that Jesus had when he walked on earth? Put that in your theological grid. He didn't do any miracles until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He could have. He was the Son of God. What was the first thing that happened when he was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism? The Spirit drove him to confront the devil. Same thing the Spirit will do for you. And I believe for some of you, he's going to drive you there right after today because you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you're going to face a temptation. And you have the power now to shoot it down. No, I don't need to smoke that. I'm done. No, I don't need that second helping. I'm free. No, I'm not ashamed to share my faith at work. God's given me a boldness. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we can get into theological quibbles. You receive the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Amen? Amen. You can't be saved and not be born, be born again without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Romans 8 is very clear. You need the Spirit of God to become a son of God. So that's not the thing, but have you unleashed the Holy Spirit in your life? See, he's there, but a lot of you, I'm sorry to say it, but I just know too many Christians, they don't live a power-filled life. They're still under the bondage. They don't have a good testimony. Their marriages are a mess. Their kids are a mess. Their families are a mess. Their finances are a mess. Their job's a mess. And I love to say it. Jesus did not die on the cross to make you broke, busted, and disgusted. He came to give you an abundant life because he wants the pagans to look and say, who's your God? I want to follow him. And if you're all whining and crying, like I always tell people, when it's somebody, oh, you get this, right, Pastor Les? Oh, my life's so bad. I'm all my... I tell them, hey, tell people you're a Mormon. Okay? Tell people you're Jehovah. Tell them you're a Jehovah Witness. Don't make our God look bad. My God is a good shepherd. Now, if you see a fat sheep, what do you think? Oh, that shepherd's taking him to some good pasture land. You see a little scrawny, sickly sheep, what do you think? You don't blame the sheep. You're like, man, that shepherd didn't do him too well, did he? Same thing with how you live. What is it saying about your shepherd? See, that's why the gospel is advancing around the world. People under identifying saying, I want to identify with this Jesus because he is promised life and life abundantly. He's promised me eternal life. He's promised to take me into his kingdom. I want to follow this Jesus. They understand their identity, and they understand they've been living under a lie. See, here's what's really wild. Think about this. Why is the gospel advancing in the West but seems to be shrinking the other parts of the world but seems to be shrinking in the West? Because in the other parts of the world, they've been living under a lie, but now they're hearing the truth. For the longest time in the West, we've been living under the truth. There's a church on every corner still. But now we're starting to embrace the lies. Look what's going on with our world. In the West, people, literally my African, I'm telling my African friends, please send us missionaries. Because you know why? Those African brothers and sisters, they read the Bible and they believe it and they do it. Pastor Les and I were just talking. A theologian, a Christian, okay, not born again, but a Christian theologian just wrote the theological book on standing up for the pro-choice movement and how it's biblical to be pro-choice. That's the West, right? My African brothers and sisters, my Asian brothers and sisters are like, well, that's just stupid. I don't want to be that smart. I just want to follow the Bible. And I love this church. And the reason I'm going off on you on this, and just forgive me, I'm closing up here. I love you guys so much because I know you're a Bible-believing church. I know that. But I'm just praying, will you unleash the Holy Spirit in your life? Will you just start tearing down with the truth of God's word, the lies that have built up in your mind? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. Do you believe that? Seven of you, hallelujah. Seven of you filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard this illustration by a pastor, and I'm like, I have the same experience. I'm going to steal that. I was in Houston one time, and I fly a lot. I'll do about 150,000 miles on an airplane this year. So, you know, I get all the perks flying. And some now with these new alliances, I also get perks at hotels. I'm a certain hotel chain, now I'm like, whatever, gold, elite, prestige, premium, whatever. I'm a big gun now. I'm somebody. And so my wife and I were going our grandkids are spread out all over the world. We got 15 of them, and it's hard to see them all over. But we went to Texas and went to see our grandson, and I got a hotel room in this hotel chain. And I'm like, I'm a grand poobah now. They're like, give me the presidential suite, right? And so I go to check in and in Texas, and we went up to our room, and all four of us went in with our little grandson, my son and my daughter-in-law and Paul and I and our grandson. And you ever been in those rooms where you all have to coordinate turning? Because it's so small. You know, that's what we did. And I'm like, but I'm an elite member. And my wife, so sweet and smart, like, why don't you go down and ask? And being that macho man leadership of my home, I'm not going to ask. You want to? No, okay, I'll go ask. So I went down the front desk. I said, excuse me. I said, I looked at our room, and it's a little tight. And, you know, I'm an elite member. And I thought, you know, like there's upgrades and all that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Excuse me, yeah, oh yeah, you're eligible for an upgrade. Okay, I'll give it to you. We got this big, huge room. It's like, honey, we're moving into this thing. It's bigger than our house, right? And what I learned was, same thing with the Holy Spirit. See, the upgrade was available, but I had to ask. The power of the Holy Spirit's available to everyone in here, but it's only to those of us who ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Leth mentioned about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? Some of you older people, you've leaked over the years. You've leaked. And you're on empty. And there's no power. You're complaining about your health. You're complaining about your kids. Grandkids drive you nuts. Well, that part could be true. I'm experiencing that. But, you know, you need to be filled up today. Because you're not dead. You're sitting here. That means you can be used by God. Strength is with the young, but wisdom is with the gray hair. There's a lot of young people out there who need you to disciple them and speak into their life because they don't know the right hand from the left and they don't know how to navigate business right. Now, some of you businessmen, help these young kids with business. Some of you are so wise with your finances. You know the average 21-year-old is in debt? They need you. They need a spirit-filled older believer to step into their life and say, let me help you walk this Christian life. Your workplace, They need you filled with the Holy Spirit so you can bring light and joy there. Because so many people are miserable, and I have tons of friends around the world who would love to come and be miserable like you. Because they're starving to death in their country. There is no employment in their country. There is no welfare system in their country. God is advancing his kingdom around the world. He really is. Is he advancing it here in Talmadge? He wants to. He wants to use you. And he's equipped you. Have you celebrated the holidays? Are you born again? Christmas, he's the Christ. Have you acknowledged Jesus as your Messiah, the Son of the living God, who died for your sins and had an Independence Day with that? And I ask you right now, what is your Independence Day? And if you don't know, you don't know. October 20th, 2019 can be your Independence Day, and you can know you have eternal life. Because you've put your trust in the truth of the gospel, that Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what he said he'd do. And he's coming back to take those who agree with that home. You're in a war. If you don't think you're in a war, you're really in it. And Satan's twisting you all around in your mind. Be set free right now. Engage him. I know I got to end. It's 12 o'clock. I'm a big A.W. Tozer fan, aren't you? I think... I always tell people, don't try to be that smart. Just learn book titles. Don't even read the book. Just learn book titles. And then quote it. And people think, wow, you're so smart. You know a lot of books. No, I never read them, but I know a lot of titles. A.W. Tozer wrote a book, said, I talk back to the devil. I don't think it. I speak it out loud all the time. No, Satan, you're not getting me down. I've been battling. It's October. It's a highlight. It's Wiccan priests and priestesses. This is their golden month. Halloween is their high holiday. Spiritual warfare is alive and well. Satan's been attacking me, but just trying to discourage me and all that. I talk back to the devil. You're not getting me. I got the power of God in me. Greater is he is in me than he is in the world. Praise God. I talk back to the devil. Man, my finances, no, they're going to be great next month. They might be low this month. Okay. Praise God. I'm going to follow the biblical principles, and I'm expecting God to do great things. My wife and I had a horrible fight the other day. Who was right? I don't know. It lasted 5 minutes. We follow biblical principles of repenting and loving each other and honoring each other. And my marriage is going to get stronger and better than ever. I'm not going to go down that road of negativity. Yeah. Bro, yeah, preach it. That is good. Because it's real. Is there a couple who has not had a fight? You're not living. Anybody ever been frustrated with your kids? What words do you speak over them? Man, my kid one day is going to be used by God in such a tremendous way. But they're on crack. Well, you know, they're going to have a great testimony when they get off it. Praise God. I'm not going down that road of negativity with Satan. I pray almost every day. You know my story. No Bible, no breakfast. I'm that guy. I'm in a war, man. I'm a front lines of the war. Thank you for putting me there, and I love it. And I know I need God. I need his word, and I need the Holy Spirit, because it's spirit and truth is how we wage war. It's how we worship. So I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I get into his word. Every day I'm reading his Bible, and every day I'm asking, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I can't do it on my own. When's the last time you asked the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit? Right now. Close your eyes. Bow your head, please. With every eye bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask you, as you sit there, do you have an Independence Day? This is life and death. You cannot do anything in the power of God without becoming first a child of God. And you only become a child of God by receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that Christ died for your sins and rose again on the third day. Have you made that decision? If not, then today's the day. If that's you, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is between you and the Lord, but I'm going to ask for you to make a profession. If that's for you today, would you just slip up your hand and say, I want an Independence Day today? Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Just put it right back up and put it back down. See those hands. Praise God. If that's you, just say in your heart, just speak it out. Actually, just quietly, just say, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, and I believe you died for my messed upness, my sins. And I believe you're alive and I'm giving you my life right now. That's all it is. He's done the work. You just have to believe. And God will send his Holy Spirit to live in your heart and give you a new life right now. For some of you, you've leaked. It's kind of a funny joke, but it's actually sad truth reality. You've lived a powerless life lately. You're falling back into patterns, addictions, ways of living that you know don't bring honor to the Lord. And right now, he's saying, I want to set you free, child. You're my child because you're born again, but you're not living like one. Come back. I'll fill you up with that Holy Spirit so full, you'll be a changed person. If that's you, if you're honest enough to admit you've been leaking and you need a new filling of the Holy Spirit, would you just slip your hand up right now before God and just say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Put them up. Just put them right back down. And then just say it. And just say, Lord, I'm going to walk in faith believing that you're filling me with your Holy Spirit. I'm not looking for some feeling. I'm not looking for some existential moment. I'm looking for you to start using me in the coming weeks for your honor and your glory, to set me free, to give me the power to help set others free. And I'm going to live in faith believing that your word is true, that those who ask, it's available, and I will be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, for every man and woman in this room, would you start using them in ways they never thought possible, Lord? I literally believe testimonies, Lord. Would you let testimonies start going out this week from this church for people literally who are being used by you in amazing ways, God? You'll start providing jobs in amazing ways, Lord. You'll provide finances in amazing ways. You'll provide healings in amazing ways. You'll set captives free in amazing ways, Lord. You'll literally then start using them to see others in their family and their friends being set free because of the power that is living inside of them, Lord. We're believing this because it's by faith that we please you, Father. And we're willing this week to take that step of faith to say, Father, we believe your word is true. We love you, Lord. We love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.